and welcome to the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast, Edition 2 on the regular season. We're going to make this a weekly thing. Myself, Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer here as well, hosts of Breakfast with the Bills Fantasy Style, Sunday morning at, well, this week it's 9 a.m.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's about not at 7 a.m.
So I guess we don't really have a set time.
It's at 7 a.m.
Right, we don't really have a set time. We just kind of kick things off. Right,
it's normally at 7 a.m. We kick off your Bills game day coverage, but out west, for one morning only, 9 to 11, a two-hour show on Sunday.
Because the Bills only play at 1 p.m., essentially, 15 out of 16 weeks out of the year. So we're like your undercard to the rest of Bills coverage.
If it wasn't for them facing the Chiefs, say it was out west against the Broncos or the Raiders, we would be on again at 9 o'clock. But it's a one-timer.
Do we know if that Chiefs game might have being moved to 4:05.
Well,
that's our own Sal Capaccio said that a couple weeks ago, but I'm not sure.
Locked.
Right. We'll see if that changes as well. But we're going to – the Nathan Peterman news yesterday, we just had to record a podcast before Sunday because this changes a lot of things in the fantasy football world, especially if you have Tyrod – for the Bills, huge implications.
If you have Bills players, this is big.
Anyone that you have that's a Bill is affected by this news. And if you had Tyrod Taylor, you're probably scrambling for a different option, and we'll hit some potential alternatives to Tyrod Taylor that are probably available in your free agency later in the show. But first, let's just talk about how this affects the offense in general, because you've got a rookie quarterback coming in, a fifth-round pick, the eighth quarterback picked in the 2017 NFL draft. You're replacing him in favor of a quarterback that, in Tyrod Taylor, that was not taking a lot of chances. And you know what? That was going to hurt Kelvin Benjamin's stock. Really, what we saw from Tyrod Taylor on Sunday and what we've seen throughout his career is he's going to get the ball to his number one receiver, but not nearly in the same amount, in the same volume that some of the top quarterbacks around the league are giving their number one receiver the attention of. And Cam Newton loved to throw the ball to Kelvin Benjamin. Tyrod Taylor, only 3 targets in a game where you were down the entire day.
Yeah, and it was all in the first drive, no less. It was
within like 5 plays
of
each other.
It was the first drive.
Right.
It was Benjamin got it on the second play of the drive. He got a slant pattern.
And then they went to him twice
when they were in the red zone. Both misfires by Taylor, including one on third down that was behind that Benjamin almost one-handed.
I thought he could have caught that still.
It's still a tough catch one-handed behind you like that, running the opposite direction.
But Nate Peterman's not going to be throwing that on the money either, I don't think.
No, and here's the problem with Nate Peterman from what we've seen so far. For every awesome throw that wows you, you're going to get one throw to counteract it that says, okay, he was a fifth-round rookie for a reason.
Yeah.
He has accuracy issues just like any rookie quarterback would. He's going to get the pass rushing attention of the Los Angeles Chargers.
I expect them to pressure him heavily.
Joey Bosa, they don't even need to blitz him. Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are amongst one of the best pass rushing duos in the league. I think they're third in the league right now in sacks. That's terrifying.
Well, because also they have good interior pressure, and it's led by Brandon Mebane.
Corey Legit. You know, those guys
push the pocket in, and then Ingram and Bosa come around the outside, and they're very dangerous. Although they get a lot of pressure just from just those four, I would expect them to blitz once in a while as well, because especially like on third downs, and Peterman, they're going to try to fluster him in his first game. And that what you do is you blitz rookie quarterbacks to do that. So we'll see how he looks.
Do it at the first drive.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I bet they would come out immediately. Now, it's funny. Like, coaches sometimes they'll say, "Well, we wanted to come out, and we wanted to hit him in the face, or we wanted like
hit him, punch him in the mouth." That's
right,
like, punch him in the mouth. That's the usual coach speak saying.
That's the coach speak phrasing.
Yes, the coach speak saying.
You want to punch him in the mouth right away. So maybe we see some blitzes from the Chargers right away. Also, on the Bills side, maybe they wanted to, like the coach speak on their side. We want to punch them in the mouth. Maybe they go deep on one of the first couple plays. Maybe they run Deontay Thompson long and they try to let Peterman air it out.
Here's my problem with that theory.
It with this quarterback, and that's why I don't think they'll do it with this quarterback.
Yeah, why would you suddenly not do it with Tyrod? I mean, why would you do it after benching Tyrod Taylor? That would just
Is one of the few things
he does really well.
Right.
Very well. No, with Peterman, the other issue is the arm strength. Is he even going to be able to test deep? That's one of his biggest problems coming out of Pitt was the arm strength issue. And it's a question that we're going to have to look and see to get an answer in these final seven games. Furthermore, let's be real here. Rick Dennison's running the ball on first down.
Yep.
So you know what that first play is going to be a run play.
The offense is just so predictable.
And this, let's bring this to Shady McCoy for a moment. He's not been your coveted number one overall pick over the last couple of games. He's actually probably cost you games more than anything else. Against the Chargers, they still struggle against the run. However, he's going to be seeing all of the eight-man boxes and everything of the sort. My biggest question, though, here is, does Tavares Kadet get a flex spot because of the injury to Mike Tolbert? Because Kadet has more receptions than carries in his NFL career.
And yards blow, like, way more. He has 866 receiving yards in his career, only 87 rushing yards. So, not even close.
It's 10 times.
Right, 10 times more. Not even exaggerating. It is 10 times more that he is getting more catches than rushing yards.
He's a great pass-catching back, and if he's going to be the guy to spell out McCoy, in PPR formats, that hurts McCoy even more. Because now you have another pass-catching option and one who has, made his money doing that.
McCoy only playing 50% of snaps last week. A lot of that was because the game was so out of hand. But it's not a good sign to see McCoy not in the game when you're trying to play catch-up.
Messing with his groin early in the game.
That's also true.
Yeah.
But with Kadet there, you make a good point. He might steal some touches away from him when the Bills are trying to play catch-up, because when you're throwing out of the backfield, you don't want to have Mike Tolbert in there. He's the guy you come
tell
in.
Dennis
to, right, I know. I should scream it at him. I should go outside his house and picket with fences. But Kadet's going to come in. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Picket with fence.
Fence picket. You know what I'm talking about.
Picket with a sign.
Yeah, that's right.
Joe's going to carry a picket fence.
I'm going to actually have the fence.
He's going to take the picket fence from Rick Dennis' house.
I was thinking of the defense
sign.
And
he's going to go to any random riot with a picket fence. He's going to pick it with a picket.
I was thinking of the defense sign. I don't know. I actually don't know what I was thinking. But Kadet's going to come in. He's actually probably going to be half decent in the pass game. And if they're trying to play catch-up, he's going to be able to play more than Mike Tolbert was able to. Just simple dump-offs.
Yeah.
He's a bigger threat than that. And that's why Kadet...
He's shifty.
I don't think you can start him, really, unless you're absolutely desperate this week.
I was going to say,
or
if it's
in a super deep league.
If it's a flex play, if you're in a 12-team or higher league, it might be worth a risky flex play. If you're in a 14-team league, well,
you would it would have to be full team PPR, and you would need to be really desperate, I think, to do it. But there are scenarios where you could do it.
But there's a question to pose there. And no doubt, though, this hurts McCoy, I think, a lot more than anything else. But
more realistically, I think you should have Kadet on your mind. Maybe not even add him to your bench, or if you have McCoy, maybe
stash him.
Yeah, stash him. I'm not sure he's going to be owned in a lot of leagues. He's owned in less than 2% of leagues right now. So just keep your eye on him, because if he comes out Sunday and he does pretty well out of the pass game, then he's a guy that you should definitely add. But right now, I don't think you have to add him.
Are you ready for the no one cares about your team moment?
Oh, yes, I am.
I'm currently adding Tavares Kadet.
Oh, that is... Over who?
Over who? Like, Shane Vereen and Jamal Charles are the best backs available.
But who are you dropping for him?
I have a free injury spot. Aaron Jones got hurt.
Ah, okay. So... All right. Yeah, see, I could see, because we've seen Charles throughout the year. I think his role is basically gone with Booker back. So, yeah, okay. Like, there. That's a scenario where I could see, fine, speculative ad, see what he does. If McCoy were to get hurt, God forbid, he would probably be the starting running back as of right now. So, yeah, I could see it. Other receivers that it affects in the pass game, starting Nate Peterman, Jordan Matthews, he played 75% of snaps, less than Deontay Thompson against the Saints. And Rick Dennison talked about it earlier this week. He's going to be the slot receiver. And, Rick Dennison, not sure he uses that position a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, looking forward offseason, I don't expect the Bills to bring back Jordan Matthews. But is Jordan Matthews a guy that you can drop in fantasy leagues?
I'm not going to say that right away. I'd give it a couple weeks to see what happens here. Because with the quarterback change, there's one thing that has happened. Nathan Peterman throws with the anticipation or the timing that is required. And if Jordan Matthews is the slot receiver for this team, we have to see the snap usage, really. Let's see how this plays out in L.A. before you drop Jordan Matthews. Because Zay Jones is going to be back. He's healthy. He's practiced two straight days. Everything is pointing to him being active against the Chargers. And he's coming off of what was the best performance of his career within a half.
Right. The problem I have is I don't have an issue with him being a slot receiver, but he's not in an offense that utilizes that position enough to warrant me owning him. Because look around the league, like, slot receivers can have success. Randall Cobb's done it. Danny Amendola's done it.
This is not an issue. This is not a question of the offense with Jordan Matthews. This was a question of the quarterback. And Tyrod Taylor does not throw to guys that aren't 100% open. He's a see open, throw open. And the thing is that Jordan Matthews, he made a lot of his hay as a slot receiver in Philadelphia. If Nathan Peterman's there and he sees something, if he sees a matchup against a linebacker with Jordan Matthews, he might just pull the trigger.
I think more owners are...
Are you weary? Absolutely. Am I dropping him yet? I want to see what's happened. And if someone did drop him, I'm looking at Jordan Matthews, and I'm looking at this game with maybe he can revitalize and save. Maybe Jordan Matthews or one of these Bills receivers saves a fantasy season that you see all the time. The stereotypical guy who does nothing for 10 weeks, and then next thing you know, your playoff push is because of guys like Jordan Matthews.
How about Charles Clay? Because he only played a little over half the snaps last game. He got the ball a couple times. I'm going to say he didn't really look 100% healthy, but he looked okay.
He's not 100% healthy because reports, he's been limited still.
Right, and he didn't practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing with him? Are you starting him this week? Are you holding on to him on your bench? I don't think you're dropping him unless you're in a 10-team league maybe. But
the position might dictate it. Because as we've said multiple times this year, the tight end position has not really been good.
Let me read you just some of this is the consensus rankings from all sites from fantasypros.com for this week. After your top three, which is Kelce, Ertz, and Gronkowski. Okay, you've got Evan Ingram.
Okay.
He's been good. Jimmy Graham, he's been good too.
He's kind of woken up there.
And then this is where you really start hitting guys where it's like you can't really 100% trust them. You got Jared Cook.
I'd put Delanie Walker up there.
Walker is ninth. You've got before him, you've got Cameron Brate, who's had two bad weeks in a row. Kyle Rudolph had a bad week last week. Vernon Davis, you can only count on if Jordan Reed is out, and we don't know what that situation is yet. Jason Witten, who doesn't get the volume to warrant starting anymore. And then now you're down, this is the tier that they've got Charles Clay in. Tyler Croft, Austin Hooper, Hunter Henry, and then Charles Clay. The group that Clay is in.
Yeah.
You are hoping for a touchdown because you do not believe that he is going to get the volume to – I mean, he's not going to come out, I don't think, and get 5-6 catches for 100 yards.
That's the tight end position this year. And if Charles Clay is in – like, if you're starting those guys –
And the problem is Clay is not as big of a red zone threat as those other guys, especially with Kelvin Benjamin here now.
Yes, but at the same time – you know what? There is something to think about with this because Tyrod Taylor loved throwing to Charles Clay. His numbers this season were a high volume.
He was having his best
Taylor.
Fantasy year.
And now with Taylor gone, there's a question. So maybe you do sit him this week because we need to, like, a lot of the Bills players are now in a wait and see evaluation mode. There is one that I say start, though, by all means, Kelvin Benjamin.
Start Kelvin Benjamin.
I think that he's gonna force that football to Kelvin Benjamin for better or worse. Nathan Peterman's gonna force the football into players that, you know, we might not see this. But again, even with Kelvin Benjamin, I'm not even gonna say must start. I'm gonna take that back a little bit.
I was gonna say because for me, he would be a good, a solid flex play.
It depends.
But
on
I'm not
have.
Forcing him into my lineup.
You don't force him in your lineup, but there might. Let's just say there might be worse things that you can do because we don't know what the crowded group is going to look like now. If Deontay Thompson is really taking all these snaps, what does that mean? And you know what? We have to see what happens with the snap count with Matthews, the usage of Benjamin, what Zay Jones does if he's healthy and active in this game, and is Deontay Thompson really a headache with all of those other three aforementioned receivers? And is Peterman going to like one of them more than another? I mean, we saw in preseason – Peterman and Jones had this rapport that you wish Tyrod had with Zay Jones.
Right.
It was, you know, Zay Jones was looking great in the preseason when Peterman was chucking him the football because Those two just had a mental link. They played together in the Senior Bowl. They already had the familiarity.
Yep. All right, moving on. Let's do this real quick. Calvin Benjamin, you just mentioned, he's ranked 38th this week. Play a little game of higher or lower on who you would rank Calvin Benjamin above.
What are the five above him and the five below him?
Well, the five below him will just go Jordy Nelson, Paul Richardson, Danny Amendola, and Tyler Lockett. You okay with all those behind him?
Yes.
Okay. So now let's see where you would have him. I'm going to name the guys above him, and then you tell me whether you would rank him higher or lower than that person.
Okay.
Right above him is Cooper Kupp at Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Above him?
Yes.
Mohamed Sanu at Seattle.
Who's above him?
Ted Ginn versus Washington.
I might just slide both of them up above Ginn. Because Sanu against Seattle with a very injured and depleted secondary might actually not be a bad play there.
You got a couple more here. Corey Davis at Pittsburgh. Right above him, Rishard Matthews at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know what? I stop it there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that that's
would have him a little higher than what the consensus is.
I have him two spots
higher. Right.
So, yeah, it looks
so
like...
So what you have him is what I think is very fair. That's probably about what I have. You have
wide
him
receiver
as a
two or
mid-
flex.
Well, what you have him is a high-end wide receiver three or flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is about where I would put him.
Yeah.
One more topic here on the Bills. Tyrod Taylor, if you had him as your starting quarterback, and a lot of people did, he was owned, ESPN leagues at least, he was owned in 80% of leagues.
That hurts.
Started in 45%. So for those 45% of... of teams that had Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback, some guys that you can look out for as potential replacements.
Before you do that, I've got a horror story for you.
Okay.
So fans that had Tyrod Taylor, well, you're not alone here because now you have a player you have to drop. You don't even have any value in this guy anymore. Right. My sister asked me for advice because she was playing her first fantasy league this season. She had Carson Palmer. He broke his arm. And then she had Tyrod Taylor and Matt Stafford as backups.
Oh, no. Oh, I already see where this is going.
She had an opportunity to sell Tyrod Taylor high after the Jets game.
Yep.
Where he garbage timed his way to 30 points. Now, thank goodness she has Stafford because otherwise she suddenly wouldn't have a quarterback.
That's not a horror story. She's lucky she still got Stafford.
Yeah, but she had a trade offer.
Tyrod for what?
It was, I don't remember what the player was verbatim, but I think it was
You think of who it was. I've got some stats here.
I can look back on the text and I can see who it was.
I've got some stats here that are really going to really say how well Tyrod Taylor has been the past couple years as a fantasy football quarterback. Only player in the NFL with at least 3,000 passing yards and 550 rushing yards in each season. The only people to do it once were Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. During those first 2 years, Tyrod Taylor rushed for at least 30 yards in 19 of 29 games. That essentially is he starts each game with a touchdown. And that's going to be gone with Nathan Peterman because you are not expecting him to average 30 yards rushing per game. So, and one more. Since the beginning of 2015, only Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees have more games with at least 15 fantasy points than Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Missing consistency. He not often had those enormous games. When he does, it's because he either gets a rushing touchdown or ends up with like 80, 90 rushing yards. But he had a floor for you, which was about 12, 13 points, and he was almost always getting you to 15, which as a fantasy quarterback, you know what? As a Cam Newton owner this year, that has been constant, up and down, 40 points 1 week, 6 the next week. Tyrod Taylor, sometimes, you know, that could be a breath of fresh air. Just have a guy in, and you know what you're going to get out of him. And that's going to change with Nathan Peterman, of course.
Yes, yes. By the way, the offer was for Juju Smith-Schuster and the now injured Aaron Jones. So it wouldn't have been.
You'd have Smith-Schuster, which obviously it's
you'd
not,
have,
it's not
you'd
awful,
have a player
but
for a guy who's now dropping.
Right. All right, a couple quarterbacks that could be potential replacements. Let's see what you think of these guys. Jay Cutler. I'm doing guys owned in less than 50% of leagues, so that you know the majority of people here have a realistic shot. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, we'll get Matt Stafford. But
I have thoughts on that Jay Cutler thing.
Jay Cutler, by the, he's been since Jay Ajayi left. He is a top 10 quarterback. It's only two games, but he's a top 10 fantasy quarterback
in the last 2 weeks. The team does get their teeth kicked in a lot.
They do. They're an offense that's not running the ball all the time now because, you know what, just flat out fact, they don't really have a featured back. They're going to be passing the ball more, and Cutler plays Tampa Bay this week. So maybe you have a speculative ad, like maybe you want to throw Teddy Bridgewater on your bench just in case he starts it down with line. And maybe you need a guy for a week or two. Jay Cutler plays Tampa Bay this week, which is a secondary that has allowed 300 yards passing to almost every quarterback they've played.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, again, Miami has been bad, and they've fallen behind big. So that actually does give you some garbage time value that could be helpful. But going forward, I would hope that Jay Cutler is only like a week or two add kind of player.
Well, these are the guys under 50%, so you might be stuck because the other guys on this list are not great names. You've got Eli Manning.
Who?
Josh McCown, who's been good, but the Jets' remaining schedule is, I mean, it's Carolina, Kansas City, Denver, New Orleans, L.A. Chargers, New England. They might get to a point here if they lose three or four in a row where they just say, you know what, McCown's been good, but we're out of it. Let's throw Hackenberg or Petty in there. Let's just see.
That is true.
So I don't know if you can, if you're a good team, especially. I don't know if you can be counting on McCown right now to be. You can't be counting him for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Other quarterbacks under 50%. I own Case Keenum. I think could be a decent 1 or 2 week filler.
The problem is the tenuous hold he has on the job.
Right. Because Bridgewater, I mean, this could be the last time we see Keenum this week.
Keenum,
and he's got a tough matchup against the Rams.
Keenum threw his way to keeping the starting job for another week. Like, he was lights out, four touchdowns. I mean, what? So, you know, he has to keep that kind of pace up in order to make sure that the Vikings don't welcome their franchise passer back.
Other names on this list, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco, and this is the guy that I think every Tyrod Taylor owner should go out and get. The problem is he is on a bye week this week, so you can't use him this week. But I think every Tyrod Taylor owner should go out and they should put Jacoby Brissett on their bench. Jacoby Brissett is the 12th ranked quarterback on the season. He's been a low-end quarterback one since he came in as the starter for the Indianapolis Colts. He only has two games on the season lower than 10 fantasy points. He has two games on the season higher than 25 fantasy points. For the most part, he's fallen into that 15, 16, 17 point range. I think Brissett is a guy, you can't use him this week, and I know that's gonna stink for a lot of owners out there. He's only owned in 16% of leagues. I think he's a guy that you need to go out and you need to get. His passing yards over the last 5 weeks, 212, 200, 233, 308, and 222. He has not thrown, and the week before that, 314. So I could have gone back 6 or 7 weeks. He only has one game this season throwing for under 200 passing yards. He needs to be the addition. He's the guy I think you need to add.
And if you would have told me before the season that Jacoby Brissett would be in the top 12 of scoring for fantasy quarterbacks.
Yep. And that's not starting the first week.
I wouldn't have wanted to move forward with another day of my life.
Well, I mean,
I would have asked what kind of hallucinogens you have been taking.
It's less, I think it might be a little less of him, and it's more the Colts stink and are always losing.
And he has to,
and they have no run
football
game.
But what I'm saying, though, is, again, if you would have told me before the season that Jacoby Brissett was going to factor in scoring in a positive manner, again, I don't know what I would have done with my life.
Also, three straight games with two passing touchdowns. He's going to go out there. He's not an amazing rusher, but he will go out there and he'll get you 15, 20 yards.
Some things.
Yeah, so he'll get you a couple extra points on the ground. Brissett's the guy I think you add to replace Tyrod Taylor for the rest of the season. All right, let's hit some topics from around the league. We've got, let's start off in Miami because we just talked about Jay Cutler a little bit. Dolphins head coach and offensive coordinator Clyde Christensen saying today, Devontae Parker not playing with the same edge he has seen in the past. This is interesting because Parker's snap count was down last week. It went from, he's been in about 85-90% the entire season. Last week, even though they were playing from behind, he was at 60%. So he wasn't on the field, and Jarvis Landry got that garbage time touchdown.
Yep.
That could have been Parker. So are you worried, Devontae Parker? People drafted him in the 4th, 5th round a lot of times.
I'm not worried.
You're not worried, but is it we're at the point where we can definitively say he has not lived up to where you drafted him.
He hasn't lived up to where you drafted
him.
And
he probably isn't going to.
No, not this season. But at the same time, that seems like a one-week thing. You know, that snap count issue. I think this is more of if the Dolphins actually had Ryan Tannehill, I can't believe I'm saying this, he would actually be living up a little more to the standards. Jay Cutler is showing why he, for the most part, he's showing why he decided to walk away. And it influenced everyone on that offense. I mean, you look at that stretch where Miami has played in these three primetime games, they are terrible and laughable. I mean, Matt Moore, when he filled in for Cutler, Matt Moore is supposedly one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. And
he didn't look like it.
No, it was a travesty. It was hilarious to watch because I'm a Bills fan, but if you had a Dolphins fantasy player, it was terrible. I had the Ravens defense that week. It was almost 30 points. So, yeah, no, every Dolphins player that you drafted this season has let you down. And part of it is most of it is this team lost their best quarterback.
Moving on into Washington, reports say that last week Jordan Reed had a setback which had him miss last Sunday. He is a game time decision for week 11. So my question is, because Jordan Reed, if he plays, I think you're starting him. Yes. My question is more for Vernon Davis. He's only owned in 40% of leagues. Is he a guy you should pick up, especially with, we discussed it earlier, how volatile the tight end position has been this season? Is Vernon Davis a guy that you pick up and you watch the inactives on Sunday? And if Jordan Reed is out, you start Vernon Davis.
Yes. Yes. Because Jordan Reed is about as available as Marquise Goodwin was with his career in the Bills. That's not a knock
which
on
was
Marquise.
Never.
Yeah. Which is not a knock on Marquise Goodwin. You know, great guy. You know, he just constantly was hurt in Buffalo. Jordan Reed is an every other game he's out kind of thing. Absolutely pick up Vernon Davis, especially if you have Jordan Reed.
I think Vernon, especially if you have Jordan Reed, he's available. Vernon Davis, if he plays, I think is an automatic tight end one.
Yes, because Kirk Cousins likes throwing to his tight ends. That's just a fact. He likes throwing to whoever his starting tight end is.
News on David Johnson today. Some owners still have him sitting on your bench if you have an IR spot as well. He's out of the cast. He's been out of the cast for about a week now. But doctors are telling him not to have a timetable on his return so that he does not rush back. The Cardinals are 4-5. This is, as David Johnson owner, I was rooting for them to win last week so that they could stay in the hunt. Maybe he does come back. It's looking more and more like he will not play this season. Are you at the point, especially if you're in redraft league, keeper league, you're obviously hanging on
redraft
to him.
Redraft league, drop him
if you still have him.
Drop him.
I agree.
I think that it's over.
If you have an IR spot and you have no one else to put on there,
not
sure.
To mention,
but maybe you got Aaron Jones on there. Aaron Jones might only be out 3 weeks. Go ahead. Drop David Johnson. Throw a guy like Aaron Jones on your IR if you've got the IR spot. If you don't have an IR spot, you shouldn't own him at all.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't have an IR spot, he should be gone. And if you do have an IR spot, there might be better uses for you this season.
Right.
It's a risk. He might come back for the final 2 weeks of the fantasy season, maybe. But that's only 5 weeks away, and he's healing out of a broken wrist. That, you know, it still has the stitches.
Yeah.
The stitches aren't even taken out.
The good news for keeper owners is it's a wrist. It's not a knee injury or something.
Yeah, he'll be back next season.
He'll be back.
If you have a keeper league or a dynasty league, he's going to be fine for you. But this season, if you've got him on the IR and you're in a keeper league, well, he's staying there. And there's nothing you can really do about it.
And last one here. I just want to bring this up because I thought it's funny that this happened. It kind of came out of nowhere for me. Larry Fitzgerald signs a one-year extension with the Arizona Cardinals. And here's the thing. It's surprising to me because I know Fitzgerald's always been with the Cardinals, but at some point, don't you just get sick of the quarterback play and just be like, you know what, my career's almost over. I'd like to go play with a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or somebody like that.
You know,
that's not
going
to happen. He's staying in Arizona one more year.
Some players do this, and you have to commend them for their loyalty for the team that drafted them. And you know what? Some people have that virtuous stance where they don't want to abandon the team that gave them their chance. The team that gave that player their prosperity. Larry Fitzgerald's going to go down as a Hall of Famer, no doubt.
But, I love Larry Fitzgerald. Has he ever done anything wrong?
No.
Just doesn't seem like he's ever done anything wrong.
No.
At all.
The only thing he ever did wrong to me was the fact that he was so good that the Bills couldn't get him.
When?
When
he draft?
Was drafted, yeah.
Oh.
When he went third overall to Arizona.
You have to forget. When was he was drafted in what, 2003?
Yes.
I was 8.
But again,
a long time ago. He's still amazing.
He's still amazing, and you know what? Larry Fitzgerald is still he's still a decent fantasy play for you as a wide receiver. You know, and he's not the best play like he was last year. He went on a
especially
tear.
With Blaine Gabbert starting. I'll give you a question on Larry Fitzgerald. Is he a flex option even with Blaine Gabbert starting at quarterback?
Yes, and it's because it's Larry Fitzgerald. He's going to get his targets. He knows how to get himself open. Even Blaine Gabbert can find him the football for 4 catches and 60 some odd yards. Really. I mean, Larry Fitz is a guy that you could still safely put in. Don't expect as much as you normally would from him, but he's not a dangerous play. He never has been.
I just realized I'm playing against Larry Fitzgerald this week. He's the 5th receiver on the year in fantasy points. He led the NFL in catches last year.
Yes, he did. And he does this all quietly.
16 points last week.
Think about it.
10 catches.
Think about it.
He's really only had 1-2 bad games all year.
Think about it. Larry Fitzgerald does all this stuff quietly. That's why he's never a player that has to really leave your lineup.
He hasn't had 2 weeks in a row this year with double-digit fantasy points. He's had a lot of big games. He had 16 last week. That bodes well for me. That means he's not going to play amazing next week, especially with Blaine Gabbert. Houston's secondary, though, is their defense is
just
not...
Robert Woods went on a 96-yard bomb.
Yes, he did.
And everyone in Buffalo knows that's not a Robert Woods thing.
All right, we're going to wrap things up here on the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast. Didn't discuss Thursday Night Football, which we're recording this on Thursday because by the time you hear...
It's on Thursday night here. You're not going to...
By the time you hear this, the game's either going to be ongoing or over, so...
Yeah, if you had your Steelers... I hope you had your Steelers players in. Ben at home in primetime. It's pretty good.
Starting DeMarco Murray and Antonio Brown tonight. So
if you've got Steelers players, hopefully they're in.
I'm rooting for Tennessee to have a lead so that they run the ball and Pittsburgh to throw it with Brown. Brown is 2 straight games without double-digit points. I'm getting a little worried. But you're obviously still starting him. That's going to do it for us. Joe DiBiase, at DiBiase WGR. Derek Kramer, at Derek Kramer WGR. Hey.
9 to 11, Sunday morning.
9 to 11. Change of times if you want.
You got a prime window. You're going to be waking up, and you're going to be able to hear us, and you're going to be able to ask these questions. You know, we're going to be in a pretty great time to field these questions. There's going to be reports of inactives coming closer and closer toward the end of the show. Rapid fire tomorrow on Sunday.
Rapid fire.
That's going to be fun.
2-hour show for us. If you've got questions, tweet at us.
To get involved.
Yep, tweet at us. Tweet at the WGR550 account. Send us an email somewhere.
Email.
No one uses that anymore.
I ain't answering.
Shoot us a message on Facebook. Do we got a MySpace account, maybe?
Hey, man, you don't knock.
We don't have a Snapchat. We should be getting a Snapchat.
Should we?
Yeah, I'll run it. I'll run the WGR Snapchat. Nobody wants to see us. That's
Dude,
why
we
we're
have
on
faces
radio.
For radio, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a model, so.
Oh my god! You hearing this guy?
Obviously,
confidence is key, people.
Confidence is key. That's gonna do it for us. You can catch us on Sunday, 9 to 11 a.m. on WGR. I also have an article on WGR550.com. Why Nate Peterman has some big fantasy shoes to fill. You can check that out as well. We will see you Sunday. Thanks for joining us here on the WGR Fantasy Football Podcast.
Go Bills!